Insurance isn't the first thing most founders want to think about, but it's often the one thing that can make or break their business when things go sideways. Today, we are diving into a space that's long overdue for change, small business insurance. It's confusing, clunky, and let's be honest, nobody really reads the fine print. But what if there was a better way, a way to make insurance as intuitive as booking a flight or ordering a coffee? Welcome to Fathom FinTech Podcast, where we talk everything about the future of finance. And I'm your host, Jeet Patti, founder and CEO of Fathom Foresight. We are a knowledge as a service platform focused on fintech and financial innovation space. And our guest for today is Danish Yusuf, who is CEO and founder of Zensurance, which is a SME insurance platform operating in Canada. We have a lot to unpack about some of the trends that we are seeing in the insurance industry, specifically the insurance related to small businesses. So if you are a small business owner, an entrepreneur who's just starting on their entrepreneurship journey and are confused about what insurance to buy, or if you are a financial services professional who wants to learn more about the trends in the industry and what's latest, this podcast is absolutely for you. So tune in, and without any wait, let's get into it. Welcome to the show, Danish. How are you doing?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm doing really well. How are you?
Pretty good. So Danish, before we start, for our audience who are not aware about Zensurance, why don't you share a little bit about what the company does? And you're one of the oldest fintechs. We were just talking about that in Canada. You have been there for quite some years now. So maybe share a little bit about what the company does and the evolution you've seen over these years.
Sounds good. So we're 9 years old. I hit my 9-year mark a month and a half ago on February 29th. It was a leap day.
Wow. Congratulations.
In 2016. Thank you. And revisionist history, but we look back and say we intentionally launched on a leap day, thinking that we're going to leap the industry. So let's start on a leap day.
Love that. Wow.
That's not how we started. That's how we tell the story now that we're many years out.
I see.
The goal was and continues to be identical. We have not changed our strategy, our focus, target segment 9 years in. It's still identical. And that's serving the small business owner across Canada for their commercial insurance needs. So that's their liability, cybersecurity, professional liability, property, those types of products. It's not the life, health, and benefits, which is the other half of insurance. And we also don't do a home and car. We don't focus on the individual. That's purely the business. And most of our customers are, I'd say, under 25 employees and could be in pretty much any profession. We have, I don't know, 3,000, 4,000 different types of professions on our website. And so you name it, we can insure it. 9 years in, we've helped almost 350,000 businesses across Canada look for insurance. So we may have one of the largest databases of small business information in the country, because we have a lot of information about those businesses, and they've trusted us as they go on their insurance buying journey. We have partnerships with different platforms. We've worked with different fintechs, co-branded relationships, cross offers, because everybody's trying to solve the small business question. And it's a lot of really good companies trying to tackle the similar type of problem, but from different ways.
Right. Absolutely. And I'll just, I feel like it's worth mentioning here that Fathom Foresight has been a delightful client of Zensurance since we pretty much started. And I can totally vouch both for the product and the customer service from your team.
Thank you.
But that's very interesting. And you mentioned different industries and verticals. I'm going to get to that because that's a big problem in the SME insurance space. When we look at one size fit all kind of issue that the industry faces. So we'll get there. But before that, so let's talk a little bit about your background and your entrepreneurship story in a way. You had a pretty successful career in the consulting space, and you were with McKinsey before you made the transition and launched the company. So what was that journey about? What led to the origin of the of Gensurance?
Sure. So I started as a software engineer originally, computer engineering, and I worked as a developer for many years. Both post-graduation, that was about 3 years, but prior to that, that was my hobby, that was my pastimes. And I just ran into somebody at an event whose father 25 years ago picked me up from my house and said, "Can you wire my house with Ethernet cables?" So I was that kid, the IT kid that would wire people's homes and sell CDs and DVDs in high school. So I've always been in the tech space. A few years into IBM, I had the opportunity to move into McKinsey & Company's digital strategy practice in Canada. And I spent, I think, 8 or 9 years at McKinsey. I spent 2 years doing my MBA in between. And if you knew me back then, you'd know that I'm very conservative in my decision making. I always went to the safe option. Where did I work? IBM, U of T is where I studied. McKinsey, all very safe, big institutions, never small startup or risky things. So, and I was always risk averse. I still think of myself as risk averse. But 7, 8 years into McKinsey, many of my friends had launched their own businesses, some very successful. Most tend to shut down, as is the case in startups. But the common thread was they all loved their experience. They learned a lot, they grew, they developed as people, as leaders. I said, hey, that's something I want to do as well. So I thought I'd give it a shot.
So that's where you you started with the idea of Gensurance.
That's right. So in 2015, I had a few insurance clients while at McKinsey, and we were with them exploring digital solutions. And Canada is pretty far behind when it comes to digital insurance. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Toronto, so I knew a lot about the Canada. I worked in the US, I worked in the UK. And I felt, well, why not Canada? Why can't there be digital solutions for insurance in Canada?
Right.
What we did was, it's not rocket science, it's selling stuff online. I remember in the 90s, you could buy like travel and a few things online. And this is 20 years later, and you still really couldn't buy insurance online. And right around then, we had the first, I'd say, substantial online insurance provider that came on board, which was Sonnet. They launched around the 2015, 2016 timeframe. And when you ask people in the UK where they bought their car insurance, did they use a broker? They'd think you're in a different planet because they just don't use brokers in the UK for mm-hmm. car insurance. Mm-hmm. Now there's pros and cons. I don't think it's all good. But I said, okay, small business is even further behind. It's a complicated space, very fragmented, lots and lots of businesses out there, lots of products that they need. Mm-hmm. It performs really well from a loss ratio perspective, meaning there's good pricing power there. It's just very expensive to service. So the expense ratio is quite high.
I see.
And with my software background, I said, look, I know how to tackle the expense side. We'll figure out the loss side. So let's give it a shot. What do we have to lose? So we both quit our jobs over the holiday break between 2015 and 2016.
Okay.
Came back and said, okay, we're really doing this. And we went and gave notice and started the business on Feb 29.
Wow. Wow, that's a great story. And also, I think it always takes a lot of courage, specifically when you've had this amazing career and you're at the high of it. It always takes a lot of courage to step back from there and start something new. So really kudos to you on
Thank
that.
You.
And it turned
Very
out...
Very tough decision. Really, yeah, really tough decision.
Right. And it turned out to be a great journey for you. So that's...
Thankfully.
Now that we look ahead in future, it was the best decision probably you think you ever took, right? There were a lot of points that you touched in your story, Danish, that I want to delve deep into. One is definitely comparing the Canadian market and how it's different from other geographies. But we have been tracking the trends, not just in Canada, but globally as well. And insurance continues to be the least disrupted space. We've seen a lot on the, I guess, not a lot, but we've seen now that there are digital channels, at least for distribution. But when we look at the manufacturing side of things, it's still, the product doesn't look very different from what it was a decade ago. And that continues to be the story around the world. So Canada is kind of just on the same trajectory, I feel. So I do want to touch on those points. I was thinking, let's start with Canada and talk about what's the current state, and specifically for the SME insurance. What does the landscape look like in Canada, and what are some of the market dynamics here?
Sure. So again, to recap, the insurance world will be life and health and benefits on one side, and then property and casualty on the other side. So I'll focus on the property and casualty side. There's some great companies in Canada focusing on the other half. I know you know all of them. I'd say if you look at where Canada, so what was the saying? If you want to know where Canada will be in 5 years, you look at where the US was 5 years ago. If you want to know where Canada will be in 10 years, you look at where the UK was 10 years ago. So that's sort of the saying in the insurance world, that we're that far behind when it comes to digital distribution, ease of use. It's not all bad. There are some good things around having solid brokers providing advice and helping customers. I personally feel like there should be options. If you want to go one route, you go one route. If you want to do very traditional and sort of handshake type business approach, you should have that option as well. So I'm a big proponent of give the customer the choice. The other thing I would say is in Canada, you have brokers and agents both selling commercial insurance, more so through brokers and a bit less so through agents. And then direct online is maybe 1% of the market.
Yeah.
Very, very few options. Commercial is not regulated in the distribution side in Canada. So there's no standards on what a policy looks like. What are the coverages you should and shouldn't offer? What's the pricing? What's the question set for underwriting? Everyone does what they want to. So there's real power in the manufacturers to do whatever they want. Okay. But at the same time, when it's so varied, how do you create some standards so that you can distribute in a more simple manner? No APIs to speak of, very few APIs, very little digital innovation in the platforms as well. There's a couple of big platforms and then that's it. I think it's the classic Canadian issue where it works. You've got a couple of solutions in place, so why change it? Or we're sort of stuck in that situation. The big players that have the majority of the market share, I feel like they have a lot to lose if everything changes. So what do? You need new entrants to keep chipping away and hopefully things change.
Right, right. And to that point, I feel like you were sort of pioneer in the space in the digital insurance, and you continue to be. We haven't seen a lot of players enter the space and from the fintech side of things. Is there a barrier to entry? And it's a great thing for you because you continue to be this leader in the space. But I just want to understand, why is it? Because we have seen a lot of fintech growth in Canada, and not just from homegrown companies, the companies from other countries have launched in Canada. But when we look at SME insurance, not a lot of players still. Are there barriers to entry? Because you're saying it's not regulated in a huge way on the distribution side, yet this isn't a lucrative space to start a fintech?
It's really, really tough. If I knew how hard it would be, I probably would never have left my job, or maybe I would have done something else.
Oh, wow. Okay, I see.
Exceptionally difficult. To give you an analogy, in the US, you've got some significant size players out there. Next Insurance was one of the pioneers in the US. They just sold for $2.5 billion to Munich Re. If you add up all of those digital players, they've spent tens of billions of dollars. They probably still represent single digit market share. It's a complicated situation. Because there's no standardization, there isn't a simple way where, as a distributor, you could say, okay, I'm going to ask 40 questions or 20 questions and get 5 options from different insurance providers. There's no standards. There's no APIs. So if you're new, like we were, You have nothing to start with. So
Hmm.
we had to end up operating like a completely traditional broker for several years, where the website had a few questions. I would fill it into an Excel file. The Excel file would copy from one tab to the next three to generate application forms, which were exported to PDF, emailed to multiple insurers who would then get back quotes. Those prices
Wow.
would go into our database. 2.5 years, that's all we did. And I
Wow.
was thinking, I left my job for this.
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Okay. I see.
Thankfully, as we grew, we got more volume. We got some stronger and stronger partners who then worked more and more closely with us. So now we're at a point we get tens of thousands of businesses on our website every single month looking for insurance. We hit a record last month. We're just doing some stats. We issued one policy every minute last month during business hours,
Oh, wow.
which
Wow.
it was a huge record for us. So
Yeah.
back to your point of why, it's just the ingrained barriers. There's nothing regulatory wise. It's just the market dynamics are such that it's really tough to create something and scale because there's no APIs. I don't think the insurers, the manufacturers of the product, really want super easy distribution, because if it's really easy to buy, it's really easy to shop on renewal, and that brings margins down, which makes sense. There's a fear of product commoditization. And my answer to them is, look, the product, a certain segment is already commoditized. You're just late to the game. Not all the products, certain segments. And so we want to be that provider that's super easy to use. Customers enjoy working with us. We make it simple. We remove all the complexity from them and hide it. Let us own the complexity. Let's make it simple on them.
Absolutely. And that's the supply side of the story. Let's talk a little bit about demand, and the market, the SMEs. What are the pain points that they are facing in this time and era? And how are companies and Genshot specifically are solving for those?
See, the first thing is, so you'll have people that have insurance and people that don't have insurance, right? So different, they'll have different problems. Those that don't have insurance, I'd say the biggest thing is not realizing that they need it. Just because if you're, say, a dog walker and you do it on the side, great business, great side hustle, there's a lot of risks there. You might feel like, hey, this is just a side hustle. I only make $5,000 a year. Why do I need insurance? Well, I think you do. Or if you're doing some consulting on the side, maybe you feel like you don't need it. So I'd say on that, those non-buyers, people that are not insured, the biggest barrier is realizing you probably should consider insurance. Doesn't have to be expensive. You can buy a small amount. As your revenue grows, you can keep upgrading as you see fit. There's probably also this thing of, hey, it's so complicated. I've heard it's really hard. I can't be bothered. So I'd say that was probably barrier number two. For those that are currently insured, I would say a big barrier would be knowing that it was very complicated to buy it to begin with. It's lots of forms, PDFs, attachments, and so you're probably feeling it's not worth switching because I just don't want to go through that process again. If I do, who do I go to? What do I need, et cetera. So I'd say inertia, the broader theme would be inertia. Whereas it doesn't have to be hard. If you just give it a shot, you go to the website, zensurance.com, wherever, whoever you want to work with. You can check out some great providers in the US as an example. 10 minutes, you get some options. If you like it, you buy it on the spot. If you want to speak to a broker, we have 170 licensed brokers across the country. You get the best of both worlds, self-service as well as licensed advisors. Yeah, if you think of a Geico's tagline, I think this is their thought as well. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more. They're basically incentivizing people that, yeah, we know it's a little bit of work, but it's worth it. Give it a try. And I'd say the same for business owners in Canada.
And I think another thing is when we are trying to shop as a business owner or a entrepreneur, when you're trying to shop for insurance, it's also about finding the right fit.
Right.
So I know you, your company does a great job at actually listing down the industries and the policies are customized by particular industry and vertical further. But how is the, do we see that with other providers? And is that a norm now in the industry, or do we still see a lot of one size fit all kind of policies for SMEs?
So SME, I would break it down to be micro, small, and mid-size. And they're all very different. In the industry, people do say SME. And what often happens is it's a mid-market product stripped down a little bit for small, as opposed to a something specifically built for small business. So it's very typical. Also, you have to understand the economics in there and who makes how much money to realize why aren't things changing. So if a typical policy or like an electrician, you might pay $500 a year. The insurance company pays 20% commission typically to the brokerage, so the business. So that's $100 a year. The individual broker might make $30, and the brokerage keeps 70 for overhead approximately. So there isn't that much money in it for somebody to say, I want to spend 3 hours with you talking through everything and really making sure you understand everything and run through applications. There just isn't that much money in it. If you're paying five or 10,000, okay, there's a lot more money in it. So our challenge has always been, how do we make things so efficient and so tailored and streamlined so that there is enough money in it for us to provide a fantastic experience for that $500 policy or even $100 policy? We've got many policies for $100 a year. And the approach is, all right, we're going to spend 100 hours upfront tailoring that policy, but then we're going to sell 20,000 of them. So we can afford to make less money on each because we're going to do it at scale. We then have the ability to spend all of that time upfront really tailoring that policy for contractors, for technology professionals, for consultants, for dietitians. So every segment, we're spending tremendous amount of time upfront. Tailoring a policy for that space.
And I really love that approach. It's all about efficiencies, I think, that you're at the end of the day creating to lower the overheads. But just talking about efficiencies, and right now we the market is all about AI and how you can use of I still feel like the use cases are great, but how we'll actually see more efficiencies probably there is this next year where we see more use cases around that, especially in financial services. What's your take on that? What are some of the upcoming innovations, both in Canada from Canadian perspective, but globally as well? What are some of the innovations that you think are really changing the industry in a big way?
Sure, definitely can answer that. One more point on the prior point. I think the important thing is if you've made things efficient, to be fair, the business shouldn't take all of those savings as margin. It really should be reinvested in making a better product for the customer, have advice at scale so that both parties are getting something from it, right? You don't want to have a stripped down product where it doesn't provide the coverage that the customer needs. It just gives the digital distribution a bad name that you then have the reputation, hey, if you buy it online, then it's a stripped down product. No, that not with us. These are full products, tailored, great coverage, great claim service. So that's a really important part to make sure the customer is getting something out of it as well.
No, and I can definitely attest to that. And the fact that you have been in the market for so many years with 300K plus, you said, customers, that's a testament to that itself. But I agree, figuring out the right balance when you've figured out the efficiencies, how do you share the benefits with the customers? It's
That's
definitely
right.
key to long-term
Yeah.
success.
Back to AI, your question. You can't go to any podcast without talking about AI.
I believe so too, but
So definitely a lot of hype. The saying comes to mind, you overestimate what can be done in a year and underestimate what can be done in 5 or 10, whatever the number is. I feel the same in insurance. There's a lot of applications. We're using it in many places, and I'll talk about that. The one place we're not using it is providing advice to the customer. We don't feel like it's at a point where someone can say, I have this policy, would the following claim be covered or not? Or am I covered for X or Y? We're not putting automated answers there. We have stuff behind the scenes to help our brokers, but that stuff, that type of really critical logical thinking, we're still having our licensed trained brokers front and center.
Makes sense. Okay.
The first place we used it anywhere, which I'd say is probably for most tech startups, is within Copilot, the Copilot within GitHub.
Right.
First thing, you pay the extra, whatever it is, $10 a month per license, you get it. Maybe a third of our code is generated now in some form or another. Test cases, documentation, that's a no-brainer, I would say. Other areas, we haven't built our own solutions yet. What we do is we work with Salesforce. All right, they've got an AI solution. Let's tune it, enable it, work with it. We have Zendesk. They've got an AI package in there, MixMax. So all of the tools have AI capabilities within them. What we do is we stitch it together with all of our data and get the best of something that's tailored for that specific use case. The dream for me, maybe it's a year out, is where one, let's say you were to call our office and you're speaking to somebody asking questions about your policy and the cost of changes. What I'd love to have is a human answers your call in one ring. That's our goal, answer right away. As you're speaking, there's live transcription. It's pulling your data that, oh, so and so, Jeet's been a customer for 6 years. This is the policy they have. By the way, they've made the following changes. You're asking questions, live translation or transcription, sentiment analysis, recommendations, predicting what you might want. So really making that engagement really, really high quality and super easy. If you need a certificate of insurance, it should be a few clicks on our side and it's done. So our goal is to make our staff spend the vast majority of their time speaking to people, and then the machine's doing everything in the back. I don't think in the foreseeable future we're not planning to remove the human interaction between our broker and the customer. That's where we think we would stand out.
I see. And what about kind of I really love the idea that you have a vision for how it's gonna turn out. What are some of the other tech-wise developments or otherwise innovation in terms of, let's say, partnerships, embedded products and all? What's your take on that in terms of some of the recent ones?
Partnership is really interesting. I personally spend a lot of time thinking about how do different ecosystem players that all focus on small business work together to create a moat around that customer segment. Moat, not to be taken in a negative context, but hey, how do we collectively provide more to them?
Bundled
So
services
we
or
bundled service, greater share of wallet, higher customer satisfaction, less churn. It hasn't been easy, honestly. We've worked with many different partners. Some work and some don't. I think the challenge there is, let's say you sell accounting software. Let's say it's a great natural connection. You work with small businesses, and I work with small businesses. The challenge is, from your side, you want to make sure you sell your accounting package. You're going to make more money that way. From my side, I want to make sure I sell the insurance. What we have to figure out is that magic formula that says, okay, you sell your accounting platform, but the right moment at which to offer insurance where they're interested and excited to engage with us and vice versa, and figuring out how to make all of that work together. Big banks have been trying this as well. The regulations does prevent certain back and forth of the data between banks and the insurance side. The Bank Act prevents that from the bank to the insurance side, property and casualty. So for example, if you take TD Bank, the bank and the insurance company, separate companies, separate systems, separate everything. Credit unions, I think the rules changed a year or 2 years ago where they are in Ontario allowed to do work in property and casualty. So it's a great opportunity for them to explore how do they take their really strong relationships with the customers in their community and add on another service or two. We work with online platforms for, say, contractors. We represent paralegals, different associations. So it's a big segment for us and always something we're trying to get better at.
That's very interesting. And what about comparing the Canadian market with some of the other geographies you were mentioning about Next earlier. What is the best in class or the art of possible solutions that are out there in other geographies? Or if there are certain, trends that we are seeing that we can learn from in Canada?
Yeah, so I would look to the UK if you want to see what it looks like to be very digital. It has its own challenges, so it's not all good, but almost nobody buys auto insurance from a broker anymore. It's simple, it's online, it's easy. There are profitability challenges for the industry, and that's specific to the regulations over there. If you look at Simply Business in the UK, I think they've got, I don't know, 500,000, 750,000 customers, something significant. And it's such an easy experience. They've been around for 15 years. Their brand campaign at one point was, you name it, we insure it. Because literally almost anything you do, you can buy insurance within 5 minutes. So that's the art of the possible. I'd say what I haven't seen is in our world of property and casualty insurance, something like travel insurance with booking a ticket. It's a very simple product, so it's possible where you're buying a flight. Hey, would you like to add insurance? One click, it's in. Really, really simple. Or if you are buying, say, a cell phone, something you can add $10, extended warranty, kind of an insurance product. I'm always trying to figure out how do we do that for like the say general liability policy. An accounting platform has a lot of the information. The incorporation documents have some of the information. So how do we make use of that to present offers to the small business owner where it doesn't take any time, it makes it easy for them, they get better coverage, lower price. So that would be for me the holy grail in for small business embedded, making use of data assets that exist.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as we are continuing our journey to move towards open banking in Canada, I think that will also enable some of that vision. Because data could then be easily, accessed both from the, let's say, the financial data that you would need or the incorporation data that you would need to generate these pre-approved policies in a way.
I spend a lot of time thinking, what is open insurance? What does that mean? Because there's
Love
open banking, a lot
the
of
idea of
discussion.
it.
What is open insurance? So we should talk about that sometime. And what does it mean? How do we promote it? What's the benefit? What are the risks? Definitely something that needs more thought.
100%. As I said, like I think the more we do in the industry, it's still less because it's so behind in terms of some of the other industries like lending and even the banking in general. There's so many challenger banks in the country now. So absolutely, I would definitely take you up for that offer. But that was really a great perspective, Danish, that you've shared, not just on the Canadian market, but also thanks for sharing those global examples as well. But for Gensurance, coming back to the company, what's the next frontier? What does next 5 years look like for you? Any big things on the horizon that you want to share?
Sure. What I'd start off by saying is the insurance industry fundamentally works. It's not like it's broken. There's nothing fundamentally wrong. Claims are paid. Businesses function. Hundreds of thousands of people are employed. So it's a really well-functioning, really important industry. What we're talking about here is, hey, how do we take it a
To
little bit more
go.
forward in terms of digital transaction and making it easy to do business with. It's not known for ease of doing business. I think that's for sure. I can comfortably say that. But does it add value? A tremendous amount of value. The industry could not function. The economy could not function without insurance.
Absolutely.
What's the future for us? I'd say there are still more custom products we want to build as we initially it might be, hey, blue collar versus white collar products. And then you take blue collar and you break it down to industries. And then we keep breaking it down. Are there things specific to carpenters versus electricians versus plumbers? So that specialization is nonstop. So we'll always continue that. We are building more capacity to write business. So specific insurance partnerships, whether it is within Lloyd's marketplace, whether it's domestic insurers. We look at fronting and reinsurance and proportional, non-proportional treaties just to really expand what we can do and the sophistication by which we can do it. And then partnerships is really important to us. We want to figure out how do we deliver more value to that small business owner within the community that they already exist. And we're always having those conversations. Today, we go direct to the business owner. We don't sell to other, say, brokers or agents, or we don't sell on behalf of someone else. We sell directly to the business owner. Every week, I get questions from somebody saying, hey, can we get access to the products that you've designed? So, to other brokers, agents, white labeled for somebody else, always open to that. We haven't done it. We can. Technologically, we absolutely can, and everything is built to facilitate that. So, constantly reevaluating, is that another channel we want to explore? So I'd say that too.
And to all the financial services professionals who are listening in, or people from, the big insurance companies, Danish is available, and they're up for partnerships, so do reach out.
Can always find me on LinkedIn.
I have a last part, which is a little bit, I wanted to make it a bit fun. It's a rapid fire. So, are you ready for it?
Let's do it. We can
Awesome.
always edit stuff out if I mess it up.
We totally can. Okay, so the first one is, what's more stressful, buying insurance or reading the legal disclaimers?
All right, my cheeky answer is when you buy it from Zensurance, there's no stress in buying insurance. You'll feel Zen. Leave the complexity to us.
Love it, love it. What's the biggest lesson from your startup journey?
I should have taken the plunge earlier. I think I waited a long time, always worrying about what happens if something goes wrong and not spending enough time, hey, what happens if something goes right? So, being more optimistic and not worrying about, there are risks, plan for them, but take the plunge sooner in life.
And I think we are in a time that's most dynamic in the history of time ever, to take entrepreneurship route, at least to give it a try. If things work out, you could don't work out, you could always go back. I feel, but that's wonderful. And what's one tool that every founder should be using? Maybe something that you use pretty often.
I'm just looking at my bookmarks bar, Gemini, ChatGPT, all of those tools. We have a custom one within Zensurance, which we call Zed. So it's a private GPT server. Every employee should be using it all the time. I use it for everything. I hope my wife isn't listening. The last three Valentine's Day cards were written using ChatGPT.
Oh, geez. Okay, love that. What's one myth about insurance you want to burst?
It doesn't have to be complicated or expensive or challenging. You just need to find the right place to buy it for your business. It's possible the broker down the street that could be the best option for you, right? Just because they're knowledgeable, they know you personally. It doesn't have to be complicated. You just need to find the right partner.
Okay. And if Gensurance was a superhero, what would be its superpower?
Oof. Predicting the future when a claim is to happen or not happen, and put in the steps in place to either prevent the claim from happening on the business or limiting the damage when the inevitable claim does happen.
Love that. I thought you were going to say something around, making the business owners reach a Zen.
Oh, that would be nice. Yes.
What's one business risk that you think is totally overrated? Maybe something that your clients come, like the reason they start exploring insurance.
So those that there's some that buy insurance because they have to, and then there are others because they feel like they need to. And I don't know, I wouldn't say there's risk that's overrated. I'd say they're most underrated, mostly.
Underrated?
People feel like, hey, I'll never have a claim. I know that claims happen, but it won't happen to me. I'd say no, it likely will happen. It's just a matter of time. And so you do need to be prepared both with making sure your business is resilient and you have the right processes in place, but then as the final backup, have insurance to step in and help you when you most need help.
Right. I feel like also sometimes you don't understand how quickly you could scale and that one client you get, but suddenly you need millions of dollars of insurance, and then you are, panicking and looking for a provider at that time.
Yeah, it happens a lot. My deal is closing tomorrow. I need insurance. Can you help me?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, of course, we'll give her a try, but maybe you should have given us a little bit more notice than 10 minutes.
And what's the most surprising thing you've learned that people don't insure, but they should? And maybe since you're working with small business owners, feel free to answer it from that perspective or otherwise too from your experience.
I would so legal expense so yeah I could say legal expense is a really small policy, a couple hundred dollars a year, and it can save you so much headache. So it's the risk there is the risk that you might need a lawyer, not just to respond to a claim, but in anticipation of one or proactively figuring out what are your legal options. It's a relatively new product to Canada. It's been around for some time, but it's not as well known, where you get access to a panel of lawyers, unlimited phone calls, and then up to a certain amount of actual legal drafting work for specific situations, whether it's dealing with the landlord, the CRA, employment issues. For a couple hundred dollars a year, that's a lot of peace of mind. One hour with a lawyer, you're going to be down $600.
100%, even more as
Insure
you
that
say.
risk.
No, I kind of can totally appreciate that policy because we have that. Recommend every business owner to actually have that one. What's the worst business or like generally the advice you've ever received as a founder?
The worst advice or best?
The worst
The worst
advice.
advice. Oh, as a founder, well, I was told all the time before I launched the business, the advice I kept getting was, hey, it's a 99% of failure. Why would you do this? Just stick to the known, tried, tested, comfortable role of, as a consultant. And they meant it in a good way. They were just advising me based on their thoughts. But I don't think anything good comes without some form of struggle. It's
Absolutely.
challenging, it's tough, it builds your character. So
Right.
I'd say, yeah, just the bad advice was don't take a risk, and the good advice would be take measured risk.
Right. And what's your advice for the new generation of entrepreneurs?
It's a lot easier in some ways now, and also a lot harder. The easier part is you don't need big development teams. You've got so many tools. You can do so much in on a weekend with all of the tools. So use that to your advantage. Find the opportunity and then just go really hard at it and use all of these tools to your advantage. Yes, everybody else has the tools, but it's relatively new. Don't take it for granted. Bad times are fantastic times for launching businesses. I think it was Uber, Airbnb, WhatsApp, all launched around that 2008 time when the financial crisis happened for different reasons. Some massive businesses will come out of the challenging times we're in today. So hopefully it's one of your listeners that takes the risks, works really hard, and then reaps the rewards.
Yeah, I love that and really hope so. Hope young entrepreneurs are listening in and tuning into and would launch the next big businesses for the country. But Danish, that was really fun and a load of interesting insights. I would love to have
Thank
you
you.
back
Sure.
again, and we'll definitely once we head further towards the open banking journey in Canada, would love to
Right.
Kind of understand how that's going to impact the insurance space as well. But thank you so much for taking the time and sharing these wonderful insights, not just from Canada perspective, but overall. I feel like you have a wealth of knowledge from the global perspective as well. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that was Danish from Zensurance sharing some amazing insights from the insurance world. If you're looking for more market intelligence, or if you're looking for fintech partners to work with, or generally a subject matter expert in the fintech and financial innovation space, to work with your product or your strategy teams, do reach out to us on either on our LinkedIn channel or directly on fathomforesight.com, and we should be able to help you. But with that, that's it for today, and I'll see you in the next episode. Take care.